Part of the challenge of analyzing the U.S. response to the COVID war is determining when those in key positions of authority figured out that there was, in fact, a crisis. When did they realize that a war was upon them? There are two main kinds of military history books. One kind recounts the human experience of battles and war zones. These books vividly recall explosions, bullets cracking overhead, traumatic scenes, people ducking and yelling as they fight or are struck down. They depict a range of human behavior, from heroic to squalid. In the emotional development of a child, pervasive tension can be just as influential as loss. Lincoln's relationship with his father, the only other member of his nuclear family who survived, was so cool that observers wondered whether there was any love between them. The relationship was strained by a fundamental conflict. From a young age, Abraham showed a strong interest in his own education. At first, his father helped him along, paying school fees and procuring books. "Abe read all the books he could lay his hands on," said his stepmother, "and when he came across a passage that struck him, he would write it down. Then he would rewrite. I had spent so much time in business school learning about writing a business plan and doing financial projections that I had not spent time creating a prototype and actually getting people to try my service. I was focused on theory. The investors were focused on results. The team that won had already generated $10,000 from their idea." Metamatter is an essential component of the line hypothesis, but it also offers deep insights into many aspects of life that have hitherto gone misunderstood. On November 4, 1791, warriors led by the Miami chief Little Turtle devastated a U.S. army near the headwaters of the Wabash River. When the smoke lifted, over 600 regulars and militiamen lay dead, their mouths stuffed with dirt to mock the white man's greed for land. "God knows what shall next be done," the National Gazette of Philadelphia declared. With no regular army left between Little Turtle and the heart of Pennsylvania, and with memories of the Wyoming massacre still vivid, the article proposed a scalping plan, whereby frontier whites would be paid to kill and burn without distinction. Reagan had uttered variants of the last sentence many times before, but the first sentence was new. It was quoting Franklin Roosevelt's call from his 1936 renomination acceptance speech that the New Deal generation had a rendezvous with destiny. Reagan's appropriation of one of the great communicator's most famous phrases could not have been an accident. The entire speech had been directed at one audience. Just as they reached the island, however, a steamer appeared on the horizon. It seemed to be heading right at them. Everyone hid behind the boats, and the ship passed, close enough to hail, seeing nothing in the gloaming. For some reason, Cushing changed his mind about the prisoners and cut them loose in the canoes without sail.